Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for being with us. We ask you to give us grace today to understand and to be able to cooperate with you in the things to come and to understand what you're doing in the church and in the government. We thank you for your grace today, Lord. Amen. All right, I want to talk to you about a revelation or two revelations about bad fruit being removed from the government and the church. This first one is given to Eve Brast on February the 4th, 2019. She said, "Father spoke to me very clearly this morning as I was waking up, and he said, there is a parallel and a great significance for my servant David on this day, entering into his 70th year. The year, Father told me, was the year of righteousness." Well, the one parallel that came to me was at the end of 70 years, the first fruits came out of Babylon to rebuild the temple. Father called Babylon their mother in Jeremiah 50 and 12. In other words, they were birthed from her, right? And over them was Zerubbabel, meaning born from Babylon. Born from Babylon. Well, Zerubbabel, of course, was a rebirth of himself as a leader and the people that came with him as the first fruits to return from Babylon to the promised land. It was a rebirth and a resurrection of the leadership and the kingdom of God. And of course, this all happened at the end of 70 years. Praise God. And this story is in Haggai, where the earth was shaken and the leadership of kingdoms was overthrown. Are we seeing that now? Yes, we are. And there may be some physical shakings coming too. Okay. Haggai 2, 20 through 23. "And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down." Of course, this is pointing towards the Red Sea destruction, which he now is applying to Babylon, which we've seen in the scripture quite often, because there is a Red Sea for the deep state. All right. "Every one by the sword of his brother." In that day, by the way, they are talking, ratting on each other down there in Gitmo right now. I mean, they're getting all the information they need from the higher ups. "And in that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet." A signet, of course, is a sign of authority given to the man-child body of reformers, like Mordecai received it, you know, like Joseph received it, right, the signet. "For I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts." And this shaking is reflected in this text given to Eve by faith at random for this dream parallel. Pretty interesting. So, let me share that with you. She said, "I asked Father for a verse concerning this significance and parallel and received by faith at random Psalm 46 and 5 and in the context of 1 through 11. Her finger was on God in the midst of her. God in the midst of her. Verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth do change, and though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. Well, this is pretty much the same as what Haggai spoke about. But Haggai, remember, came to pass after the end of 70 years. And, of course, I just passed my 70th birthday, so the Lord was telling Eve that this was a parallel to be paid attention to. Okay, reading on here. Selah, verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. He shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, and the earth melted. In other words, the Lord will strike back at the factious leadership in the government and in the church. He is going to bring an end to it, at least for now, this phase, before the tribulation. And verse 7 goes on to say, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. Expect them, they're coming. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Well, once again, indeed, Cyrus Trump has put an end to many wars, which were the constant effort of the Babylonian deep state. And in parallel, the man-child Davids, too, are separating the righteous from the Babylonians through the word. And their faction, of course, is fighting against that. So he goes on, verse 10, to say, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Hey, praise the Lord. God said, don't worry about a thing. I got everything under control. You just be holy. That's what you're here for. To be sanctified. To be separated from sin unto God. And we just need to take care of our responsibility and let God take care of the rest. He's going to do it, right? Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing this separation too, Lord, and bringing your people out of bondage to the wicked. Okay, here's Eve's dream. Her first dream here, she had two of them. She said, I dreamed that I... And I believe I here is Eve representing the bride of the last Adam, Jesus. I was staying in an RV park that also had mobile homes in it. I had received a very high-end, brand-new RV to live in. Very interesting. She said, I believe this RV park represents the wilderness refuge that will come forth as a result of the financial reset and RV, or revaluation. It's going to change a lot in the economy and otherwise. Anyway, it was early morning and still very dark outside, although the RV park was well lit by many streetlights. Yes, indeed, God is bringing in the new leadership and out with the old. There was a nice blacktop road that ran through the park with a small parking lot for visitors at the end of the park close to my RV. The parking lot had a small island of grass with picnic tables in the center of the island. Some of the local UBMers were my neighbors in the RV park, but they represent, as the Lord has shown us, the larger UBM. In other words, God always uses a small parable with one person like Eve to represent a large group of people like the bride. He does that quite often. And local RBM just is a microcosm of larger RBM. I mean, UBM, excuse me. It was early morning and still very dark outside, although the RV park was well lit by many street lights. Lots of light, right? There was a nice blacktop road that ran through the park with a small parking lot for visitors at the end of the park close by my RV. In other words, I believe we're going to see later where that the Lord, who is Father, is going to bring Mother, talking about the church, to the bride. So that's what I see this text talking about. The parking lot had a small island of grass with picnic tables in the center of the island. And some of the local UBMers were my neighbors in the RV park. But there were also families living in weathered mobile homes that I did not know. Okay, here's where this last part comes in. She said, the island with picnic tables represents feeding the visitors that Father brings to our refuge, represented by my mother. Amen. She said, I was standing out in front of my RV holding a multicolored sweater. Multicolored. That reminds you of Joseph's coat of many colors. And it represents the attributes of light, because all these colors together make up the light. And we're talking about the light of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is what makes up the light of God. So these different attributes or colors of the light were in the sweater, like Joseph's coat of many colors. She said that I'd had for many years that my father had given me. Okay. And she got Exodus 39:1. And of the blue and purple and scarlet they made finely wrought garments for ministering in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron as the Lord commanded Moses. And also Exodus 29:21. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar and of the anointing oil and sprinkle it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed, and his garments and his sons' garments with him. Holy garments to minister what? In the holy place. I was holding the sweater out and talking with Sue Gilbert about the small hole that a moth had eaten in the chest area of the sweater, and telling her that I needed to darn up the hole before my father and mother came to visit me. I told her he will be upset if he sees the hole in my sweater because he made me promise to take good care of it. Yes, the Lord gives us a clean garment, one that is not spotted by the flesh, as the scripture says. But along the way, some people walk in sin and they spot up their garment or holes in their garment, which, of course, reveals the flesh underneath, right? And he said we buy of him clothing to cover our nakedness, which represents sin, right? So, yes, he gave it to us. He gave a good garment to us. He wants it back that way, right? And Matthew 6:19-21 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume. Well, she had a moth-eaten hole in the sweater, representing, I believe, the bride having some touching up to do. Okay, some fixing up to do. and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. So the hole was over her heart, right? The small hole. She said, the hole in my sweater was small, about the size of a pencil eraser. It was located in the chest area where my heart is, and I understood in the dream that it represented a gift or a charge or a stewardship that Father had placed in my care. Okay, so the bride has been given gifts, and they're not to be neglected. Okay? She goes on to say, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So she says, the moth-eaten hole represents neglecting the heavenly things for the things of the world and the flesh, not prioritizing the things of the Spirit and of God. And if we bury that talent, quote-unquote, in the fleshly earth for too long, then it becomes too late to bear fruit when our Lord and our Master comes to collect on his investments. Yes, he's coming for looking for the fruit of his vineyard, right? Amen. Well, this is a stern warning that, look for the holes. Get rid of the holes. And this message to the bride is saying that our Father wants our garments representing our works to be what they were in the beginning, not losing any of our first love and keeping all of his commandments. Because he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? So he's given us a talent. A talent. Interesting word that's being used there because it means something to us, right? The people that bore fruit from their talents were ushered into the kingdom, and the one who didn't, who buried his in the earth, was rejected. She says, then I looked over at the parking lot and had an open vision of my Father getting out of his vehicle. Of course, we know this is the Father, right? Getting out of his vehicle and escorting my mother, which is the church, with his arm around her, heading over to my RV. Yes, you know that the Bible says this. The Lord is going to bring the people out of the nations and bring them to Jerusalem, the bride. Amen. So I told Sue, oh, he will be here very soon. She had this open vision of the Lord coming and bringing Mother, the church. And she got the revelation, oh, he will be here very soon. So time to be matured and purified is quickly running out for those in the running for the bride. Take this seriously. Then Eve said, I have to repair my sweater. She said in parenthesis, my father's name in real life is William, which means conqueror. So she gives James 5 and 2, but in context 1 through 11. Come now, ye rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. There is a great prosperity movement out there that's keeping people from growing up in the bride. Their lust is for the world and the things of the world, and they don't care about their brethren. You can tell by how they spend their money, right? Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Wow. Your gold and your silver are rusted, and their rust shall be for a testimony against you. Yes, while their riches and the things that they love are falling apart, deteriorating, it could have been spent for the kingdom, right? And shall eat your flesh as fire. You have laid up your treasure in the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who mowed your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth out. And the cries of them that reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived delicately on the earth, taking your pleasure. In other words, forget about the crucified life. you know, which puts to death the old man that is the moth eating of our garment, basically. You have nourished your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have killed the righteous one. He doth not resist you. Yes, those who are rich in the ways of the world and in the thinking of the world are destructive to the righteous around them who are taking up their cross to follow Jesus. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receive the early and latter rain. Amen. The Lord is waiting. He's being patient. But as he said here, he's run out of time. He's waiting for the fruit. He wants that garment to be whole and perfect in all its many colors, which represents all the fruit of the Spirit, right? He's being patient over it until it receive the early and the latter rain. Notice that. The beginning was early, until the latter rain. He's patient until the latter rain. Notice that. But you, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Well, when does it say that the Lord is coming? Well, according to Hosea 6, 1 through 3, the Lord comes in spirit as the latter rain. Is it too late? Well, he's coming. I mean, that's what he was saying. It's almost here. The garment has to be patched. The hole has to be fixed. He's almost here. We'll look at this text a little later. But that's what it says. Hosea 6, 1 through 3. The Lord comes in spirit as the latter rain. We'll see that. Murmur not, brethren, one against another, that you be not judged. Behold, the judge standeth before the doors. Take, brethren, for an example of suffering and of patience, the prophets who spake in the name of the Lord. Okay, look, they were given a charge. They carried it out. They didn't waste time with the world. Neither did the disciples of Jesus, who were his apostles. They didn't waste time with the world. They carried out their commands to do what they were called to do, what they were gifted to do. And what God is saying is, bride, you have to do the same thing to be ready. Behold, we call them blessed that endured. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, how that the Lord is full of pity and merciful. So, take, brethren, for an example, suffering and patience. Do the people of the worldly church want to suffer? No, they avoid it at all cost. They're not going to sacrifice anything to do the will of God, to get the kingdom out, etc., etc. She also got Isaiah 52, 1 through 6. Awake, awake, put on strength, O Zion. Zion, of course, is the bride, as was told to John in the book of Revelation. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. And it says it right there too, doesn't it? Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Well, now this cannot happen with the natural Jerusalem over there. It's full of unclean people. You can't keep them out. This can only happen in a spiritual body of people because the wicked are everywhere, but they're not a part of the people. They're not a part of the holy bride. And though the bride might be scattered throughout the world, they are one in Christ Jesus. And there will no longer be any among them uncircumcised and unclean. That's where we're headed. That's where the closing up of the whole of the garment represents a completion of the bride. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise, sit on thy throne, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bonds of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Yes, these were the first to come out from Babylon, under Zerubbabel to rebuild the kingdom. They loosed themselves from Babylonish bondage. Verse 3 goes on to say, "For thus saith the Lord, you were sold for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money." Yes, there will be a full restoration of all things given to the bride. "For thus saith the Lord, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian hath oppressed them without cause." Yeah, look, God's people came out of Egypt, Assyria, and now they are beginning to come out of the Babylonian beast too. "Now therefore, what do I hear, says the Lord, seeing that my people is taken away for naught?" It's like he's saying, well, it's time for me to do something, right? In other words, he will now begin the deliverance, right? The restoration, right? "They that rule over them do howl, says the Lord, and my name continually all day is blasphemed." Oh boy, is that ever true. "Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I." Well, yes, they know the name of God, but they don't know the name of God, the nature, character, and authority. They've got the wrong tag on God, you know, as they did with the golden calves and so on. "I asked Father for a random word for this dream, and my finger was on refiner's fire in Malachi 3 and 2. For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap." So the context is 1 through 12. I'll read it to you. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." Oh my goodness. You know, I know that people might read that literally in letter, but that's not the way you interpret the Old Testament, which is a parable. It's talking about how his glory is going to begin to fill his people, fill his temple. "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." Jesus had a temple. It was the body of Jesus. In the Son of Man was the Son of God. The Son of God had a temple, and it was the Son of Man. And now, since Jesus is a body of people, once again, the one inside must be Jesus, right? "And the messenger of the covenant whom you desire, behold, he cometh." Wow, isn't this neat? I mean, how this is dead on with the dream. I mean, isn't it? "He cometh." She was waiting for her father to come and do the inspection, right? But she wanted to be ready. "He cometh, saith the Lord of hosts. But who can abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire." There it is. "And like a fuller's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi." You know, we are all a Levitical priesthood because we all bring offerings to the Lord of flesh. And that's our flesh. And this is talking about Levi. It's talking about the priesthood of the true believers. "And refine them as gold and silver. And they shall offer unto the Lord offerings in righteousness." We have to offer up a clean life. That sweater needs to be repaired, right? "Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in ancient years. And I will come near to you to judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers," that's witchcraft, right? "And against the adulterers," We've seen all of this, and that the Lord is a swift witness against the witchcraft and the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the sojourner from his right. They have done all of these things. And fear not me, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. Well, the apostates will be cleansed out of the bride and the church through them. In other words, God's going to use the bride. Notice that the father was bringing mother, who represents the church, to Eve, representing the bride. And that's what he's going to do. For I, the Lord, change not. Therefore, O sons of Jacob, representing the church, Jacob and his sons represented the old church, are not consumed. I change not. Therefore, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from mine ordinances and have not kept them. And much the church is the same exact way. They turned away from the ordinances. If their church doesn't do it, they don't worry about it. It doesn't matter that it's written in the Word. We've been given all these gifts in the Word, and we're held accountable to do something with them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? What do you mean, return? That's what they're saying. What do you mean, return? We thought we were in the right spot. You hadn't read the Bible, have you? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. You say, wherein have we robbed thee? Well, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you rob me, even this whole nation. Now, I'll point out to you that in the New Testament, Jesus always multiplied things. In the New Testament, Jesus said, we're no longer owners, but stewards of all that God owns. In other words, we no longer own 90% and God gets the 10%. We handle 100% for him. That's what a steward does. Luke 14:33, Jesus said, so therefore, whosoever he be of you that renounceth not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Oh my. So reading on, just remember this has been multiplied here. Bring ye the whole tithe into the storehouse. Where was the storehouse? In the midst of the temple, which is the people of God. That's who the money is for. It's to build up the people of God. That there may be food in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Yes, if you become a steward and not an owner, which would make you a thief in the New Testament. If you're a tither in the New Testament under the law, Jesus said, you tithe anise and cumin and have left undone the weightier matters of the law. He said tithing was of the law. And he never commanded anybody to go back and tithe. He rebuked the Pharisees because they were tithing, but they weren't paying attention to the most important parts of the law. So he's saying here, he'll open the windows of heaven if a person is now New Testament and renouncing ownership of all that they have. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the fields, says the Lord of hosts. Whoa, he's making a promise of fruit for the people that won't become rotten. And all nations shall call you happy, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. Okay, here's dream number two. The scene changed, and I found myself, again representing Eve, the bride of the last Adam, found myself standing in David's kitchen up on Sunshine Mountain. I believe this is representing the larger house of David on Mount Zion. Michael and Brandy were in the study, that is off of the kitchen, working on the UBM materials. We were working on materials that the wicked tried their very best to destroy, but they're actually making them better. David appeared in front of me next to the refrigerator. He said, "Look, Eve, I want to show you something." He was smiling as he opened the door and bent down to look inside with me. The light that shone out of the refrigerator was so bright that it took my eyes a second to adjust to it. And she has a note here, refrigerators preserve food so that it lasts until it can be eaten. Yes, true. And also, we have to preserve the fruit that's been given unto us, right? And David pointed to a small, clear container of beautiful, ripe cherries and said, "Do you see these?" She said, "Yes, they are cherries. They look really good." He was proud of them as he nodded his head and said, "Yes, they are." The clear container represents purity and transparency, nothing hidden. We've had revelations of cherry blossoms in the fall, she says. Yes, as a matter of fact, this past year we had cherry blossoms here in the fall. It was amazing. Cherry trees normally show blooms in spring, and after the blooms are gone, the fruit comes in a couple of months. Of course, this varies according to the variety and the location. So, here we see David and Eve are looking at the first fruits, now in the refrigerator, ready for use. Okay, you know what? I think we're seeing the first fruits being prepared and ready for use. That says that people are running out of time to be in either the man child or the bride. The church will go through the tribulation in order to get ready. The man child and bride are going through their tribulation now, before the tribulation. Not that there won't be efforts there to come against them, but it won't make any difference because Jesus lives in them. Then David's countenance changed as he closed the refrigerator door, and he had a look of concern and consternation on his face as he said, "Come, I want to show you something else." So I followed him into the living room, and we stood at the right side of the wood-burning stove, facing the end table, next to the red Bible study chair. Probably some of you remember the red Bible study chair that I sat in and taught from for so many years. And she says, the stove represents burning up the wood, hay, and stubble in fiery trials, as well as does the end table. End being underlined, end table. So right next to the chair, right? The Bible study chair represents where the teaching of the word went forth for so many years. And from this was much fruit born. But not all of it was preserved in the individual's refrigerator. You know, what we receive in the beginning can't deteriorate as we go along. We have to have that fruit at the end, right? So as in the parable of the sower, some lost their fruit to the corruption of love of this world and sin, which Eve's dream goes on to explain. Eve said, he directed my attention, pointing to a larger opaque container of many different fruits. They weren't all the same kind of fruit like the cherries were. So the cherries are all one. That's like the man-child ministry and the bride ministry. They're going to be of one nature, you know. Some had been cut up in pieces, so she's looking at this large, opaque container of fruit next to the chair where all the teaching went forth, which God is holding us accountable to, right? So some had been cut up in pieces and others had been cut in half, while others had been left whole only to rot in the container. I said, it looks like rotten fruit that someone left sitting there. Meaning they didn't put it in the refrigerator, right? Eve said, I believe the different kinds of fruits that didn't go together and accelerated the deterioration process represents the works of man. Yeah, and I might say, too, that the falling away of some who once had fruit is evident. They were tested and they failed. Their fruit failed. And they went back to the world in their faction and in their witchcraft. And Eve went on to say, the cutting up of their fruits represents factions, strifes, and divisions. The whole fruits represents the island unto themselves mentality. And she gives Galatians 5:19-26. And verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, eviling, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Folks, this describes the faction perfectly. All of this describes it perfectly. And so she goes on to say, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. In other words, if you're of the Lord, you've crucified that nature of the faction. And if we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. She said, David was upset at the wasted fruit and the fact that someone had failed to put it in the refrigerator, that the fruit might be preserved. David said, I was discussing this situation earlier with Brandy and Michael. And then he said, referring to the father, he said, we need to get it out of the house as soon as possible. The father said this. So rotten fruit only produces more rotten fruit, so it must be removed by God. And that's what he's been doing. Then David spoke up to Brandy and Michael in the study and said, isn't that right, Brandy? And Brandy said, yes, we need to get rid of it as soon as possible or it's going to spoil everything. And Michael voiced his agreement also. And, well, Father, we ask that you either bring repentance to those who lost their fruit or remove them so that a little leaven does not leaven the whole lump. Thank you, Father. Okay, and she got Jeremiah 24:1-10. Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the craftsmen and the smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. Well, that's very interesting. Going from the promised land to Babylon is a falling away, isn't it? And now we got the bad figs in there, right? One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, like the cherries that were preserved. And the other had bad, had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? I said, Figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad. They cannot be eaten, they're so bad. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, These good figs, like these good figs, so will I regard the captives of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for good. For I will set my eyes upon them for good, and will bring them again to this land, which is what Zerubbabel did, right? And I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and that they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, so are they are so bad, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, that's the apostate leadership, and the residue of Jerusalem, that's apostate Jerusalem, that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will even give them up to be tossed to and fro among all the nations of the earth for evil, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. And so it shall be, my friends. Even this land of America, they will be removed by sword, famine, and pestilence. And then I woke up, and I asked Father for a word by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on, Him only will you serve, quote unquote. Matthew 4 and 10, in context 8 through 11. Again the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. In other words, those who have heard the word, but fall away to serve the flesh and the devil, just as Jesus was tested to do, will be removed from the body without repentance. I asked the Father to speak to me concerning all these things, and he said, There is not much time left, Eve. I am cleaning up my body and cleaning out my church on a mass scale. And this has been seen by us for a very strong since around 2011. And the falling away, of course, are serving their flesh and the devil. And she went on to say, 2019 is the year of righteousness. Okay, that's what the Lord told her. I will have a spotless and blemishless bride. The bad fruits will be tolerated no longer. They will be cast forth out of my house. Please take heed to this word from the Lord. Be careful, he said. Make sure that you are found to be a good steward of the life and the gifts that I have given you. Thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. I require nothing less. Repair the garments that I have bestowed upon you. Wash them, that they may be clean and perfected at my coming. Will you be found in faithfulness and readiness? Eve said, May Father strengthen us and bless us to be obedient and perfected for the coming of our Lord to his house. Yes, this is the coming of at the latter rain. Here's the text we talked about before, Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, that's 2,000 years, will he revive us? And on the third day, he will raise us up. That's where we are now in the 3,000 years. And we shall live before him. And let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning of the third day. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Notice, he's coming as the latter rain. People are looking for a fleshly coming of Jesus. And we are at the morning of the third day when he comes as the outpouring of his Spirit. Okay, this is a cleaning out of the bankrupt old order that was given to Vanessa Weeks on the 3rd. I had this dream in late December or early January. I dreamed that there was a medical center here, and it was large for this area. And I believe this represents the church and the government, which is the place of healing and removal of spiritual disease or corruption. I went there and saw the staff. I also noticed the company logos that were on the counter and other places. The next day, Barry and I went there, and it was totally different. It was owned and operated by a different company with a different staff, and logos became because it had gone bankrupt. So they changed logos because the former one had bankrupt. We can see that, can't we? A parallel in that the church and government have been bankrupt and are changing as the old goes out and the new arrives. I remember thinking, I wonder if they kept any of the employees. Well, no, not really. They either had to be born again or at least decent in the government, right? Barry and I sat down and waited for my appointment, and we were eating a meal. I saw a door open across from me and went over to it to get a disposable bowl for Barry's soup. I saw a man sitting at a desk, a large desk, and he said, "I have been upset all day because I am in really big business." She said it could have been either one. Well, notice, the merchants of Babylon in the church and the government are fearful, for they're on their way out. They're losing authority day by day. Also, I thought, he said, "Pray for me. I am really big business." She thought he said that. So I motioned to Barry to come and pray with me, and I asked the man, "Did you say pray? I am really big business?" He said, "I said I am afraid because I am in really big business." Well, notice he didn't want to pray or have any faith in prayer. He was afraid, she said. He was afraid that at any moment someone would kill him. Well, both the apostate church leaders and the deep state government are in deep danger of death. Then he tried to hide in his briefcase, and he almost fit. So their ranks are getting smaller as they try to hide. He started turning yellow more and more until he was gold, representing fear. I started to command the spirit of fear to go, but I woke up. So Vanessa was waking up, and it stopped her from removing the fear. They really need that fear. I asked the Lord what he wanted to say about this dream, and I received by faith at random 2 Kings 10 and 2, verses 1 through 4. Now Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria, and Jehu wrote letters and sent to Samaria unto the rulers of Jezreel, even the elders, unto them that brought up the sons of Ahab, saying, "And now, as soon as this letter comes to you, seeing that your master's sons are with you, and there are with you chariots and horsemen and fortified city also, and armor, look ye out the best and meetest of your master's sons, and set him on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house." But they were exceedingly afraid, and said, "Behold, the two kings stood not before him. How then shall we stand?" Well, Jehu was the man-child reformer ministry ordained by God to destroy the house of Ahab and Jezebel in the church. And this, of course, fits the parallel of Obama and Hillary, who were in really big business, but now are at Gitmo. Wow, isn't that neat? I also received Amos 1 and 6, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, yea, for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole people to deliver them up to Edom." Okay, God is angry that the traitors in the church and the government have turned his people over to the Edomites, who invade the church and the country to destroy Christianity and are under the curse of Esau. Obama, Hillary, etc. did this, and so did the factious in the church. Hebrews 12, 14 through 17. "Follow after peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord, looking carefully lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of meat," in other words, following after the flesh, "sold his own birthright." Well, Obama, Hillary, and the rest, and their parallel faction in the church, are all into fornication and have defiled many. Verse 17 says, "For you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected," reprobated, "for he found no place for a change of mind in his father, though he sought it diligently and with tears." Well, amen. I hope you got all that. We'll send out the text so that you can study it more carefully and the audio. God bless you, saints. I got to go. Bye-bye.